Thank you, Pastor. It's good to be here and want to thank Brother Cooper. He left. Okay, I won't thank Brother Cooper for all that the church has done. What I'm reading basically what I have. It comes from the appendix of the book that's out there on the table, the Dean John Burgon's Defense of the Authorized Version. But in this, man has, from creation, desires fellowship. Remember Adam in the book of Genesis? He named the animals. He found none with whom he could fellowship with. And so God made a woman. And man has always desired. We're made that way. We're made after the image of God, and we desire a fellowship. And as we get further along, we find, trying to bring it up to date, religiously, man has sought fellowship one with another. And we find, especially here in America, formed a fellowship of churches. And over in Australia, we have a fellowship of independent Baptists. But I see it going the same way that I've seen fellowships, organizations, associations of churches have gone here in the United States. And I'm a little, personally, I'm frightened of fellowships, overly organized fellowships. We all need to fellowship one with another, but God gave me the fellowship with my wife, and if that's all I get, that's what I'll take. I don't have to argue too long with her. She's always right. But if I got into a fellowship with some pastors and preachers, there's usually a separation of the ways. And even though it seems like I'm a fighter, I'd rather not fight. I'd rather just get on with the business. But anyway, I was saved under the ministry of the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches up in Iowa. And I was saved, baptized, and met my wife. She was in a Baptist Bible Fellowship church. She had gotten saved. Her parents weren't saved and all. But anyway, I ended up in Springfield. But through that, I ended up going up to Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa, and attending there. And God was good, and I got some good training, I believe. Then I went and pastored a GRBC church up in Minnesota. But it was like many of the things. As soon as I went to a fellowship meeting of the pastors, I felt that something wasn't right. But anyway, God led us to the mission field. We went off to Australia with the ABWE, which is was a GRBC-approved mission agency. And as I mentioned the other night, our first field council meeting, I told my wife we ought to go home. Something just wasn't right with what was going on. But all the time that I had been in Bible college, Dan was speaking about the ASV. We had one professor at Faith that used the ASV. The rest of them used the King James. However, in Greek class, we used the critical text. I can't remember what edition, 22nd edition, I believe it was. But they never told us that this Greek text doesn't underlie the English text that you all will be preaching from. Now, I probably wouldn't have understood a whole lot about it if they had told me, but they never did tell us that. But during our 14 years with ABWE, most of the missionaries were changing to other versions. One of the missionaries that changed to the NIV. Now, two missionaries in Bangladesh, that was the field of choice for ABWE at that time. It seemed like that's the one that was our representative or administrator over the field says the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and Bangladesh must have been the squeaky wheel because it was getting the grease. Of course, they had the hospitals, and hospitals seem to bring in the money, don't they? The social way, and I'm not saying they had a social gospel, but presenting the social seems to bring in more money. And if you're a medical doctor, And they do give up, I suppose, something to go to the mission field, but they seem to bring in the money for the mission. But two of the missionaries in Bangladesh were heavily involved in translation work. One of them was Dr. Vigga Olson. Maybe you've heard of Dr. Olson. And Lynn Silvernail. She translated the booklet By the Word, and in that booklet she praises the work of Eugene Nida and praises his work of dynamic equivalency. Now, it wasn't until about 1986, I believe, I joined the Dean Burgon Society, and I had read The Revision Revised, and that book should set each one who reads it on the right course. I mean, that is, to me, one of the best books that has ever been written, written by the man who lived contemporarily with those who were doing all the damage that now we're seeing happen in our churches today. Now, Vigga Olson, Dr. Olson, he's now retired, and I keep up with some of these men. The internet's good and it is bad, but it does help us keep up with people. He's now living in California, and he's still doing translation work. His most recent labor in translation is, and I quote, a Muslim-friendly English translation of the Book of Matthew. Now, Dr. Olson, of course, would know more, having lived in Bangladesh. He knows things culturally about those of the Islamic faith. But it's titled The Holy Injil. Is that the way you'd pronounce it, Brother DeVitro? I-N-J-I-L. Their translation of familiar names helps cross the cultural divide with Muslims. Now, thing I see here is that it's Muslim-friendly. Now, that's what they did in Bangladesh that I wrote some things about. That ABWE wasn't happy. They weren't supposed to get what I wrote, but anyway, that's a whole different story. But it was kind of like a Good News for Modern Man, a very fluid translation. But a Muslim-friendly Bible. Now, I don't know how you... this book's friendly once you get saved, but it's not a sinner-friendly Bible. I don't know how you make a friendly Bible for people, but anyway, that's the way of what I see as the new evangelical way of reaching the sinner. Now, at the same time that ABWE, the mission that we were with, and I'm not trying to, I hesitate to say good men, but there are men that probably don't know better. That's probably the way to say it. Because there are some men within even that, even though I left it, that I appreciate, and they love the Lord, but they're just not discerning, I guess, in many, many areas. And that's the problem with some fellowships, is that you get a group of men together, and man loves to climb ladders. We love to climb. I like to see my name in print. Do you like to see my name in print? But people, when you look at a picture and you know you're in that picture, who do you look for? We look for ourselves and we look for our name. And so I'm not criticizing per se all of them, but I truly believe, and I have put it in print, if a man truly was a fundamentalist, and there again I use that in the strictest sense, that they would pull out of some of these groups. Now, because we like to climb ladders, we miss opportunities. You know, if we're in the corporate world, we would... My oldest son, he works his way up. And my oldest daughter, she can just... They're like their mother. She can go in and work her way to the top. I always seem to work my way to the bottom. But they go in there and they can just work their way up. They have the ability just to get in there and go to the top. But that's within men. If I was in the corporate world, I suppose I would want to do that. Who wants to stay on the bottom rung if you can get up the top if it's not wrong? But in the religious world, I tell you, that climbing the ladder is not the way we ought to go. We ought to be just serving the Lord Jesus. We're called to preach. We're called to minister to people. But anyway, at ABWE, when they were throwing out the King James Bible, many of our supporting churches back here in the States, they were changing versions as well. If you go along with the flow, you know, it's always easier to go down the river than it is to go up. And I'm getting to the age now that I suppose if I'd gone with the flow, I'll guarantee you I wouldn't have been here. You wouldn't have had to put up with me until what time, Pastor?
4:20,
okay. If you get done before I do, stay where you're at, all right. But our home sending church at that time was the largest GRBC church in Iowa. At one time, it was running 1,500, and we had a pastor who was a ladder climber, and he ended up the national representative of the GRBC. But when he left, he really didn't stand solid on the King James, but anyway, they always used it. And when he left, it wasn't too many pastors later that my wife was home visiting the grandkids and the children, and the pastor was asking people in the pew, what does your version say? How does your version say that? Now, you know what that's the beginning of? It's the beginning of a change. Well, today they use the ESV. The pastor has, I'm not blaming him because it's an area that's not, well, it used to be a more up the up area, but it's gone, it's not such anymore. So I'm not blaming the pastor, but it's now running about 200, big, beautiful auditorium and all the rest of this. But he's from Detroit Baptist Seminary. What else would we expect to use the ESV? Joel Grassi, I quote him, and let me quote him. He's written some articles for Dr. Thomas Strauss, if you've read any of Brother Strauss's material. And I quote, "At the present time, it appears that the ESV is being promoted and accepted by popular Christianity and by many within popular fundamentalism. A recent," and he has in quotations, 2005 survey among young fundamentalists found that 14% of those who plan to start a church would do so with the ESV. 2005, can you imagine? With the ESV, a fundamentalist. This is more than three times as many as those who would use the New International, and nearly as many as those who would use the New King James Version. This is striking considering that the ESV has only been on the market since 2001. Now, I think it's in this book as well. It's in here anyway. On the General Association of Regular Baptists website, when I was looking for a church, you usually gave the GRBs, like the Baptist Bible Fellowship and others, they usually have a representative or someone in the state that puts in your name and, you know, and your credentials. Well, now you can go to the GRBC website, and they have a job posting. We got jobs now, not ministries, we got jobs. And then it has down here church preferences on Bible version. And the first one, of course, is the ESV. You check which one is the version you like. KJV, KJV only, NAS, NIV, New King James, other various versions. Now, can you imagine a man that belongs to Dean Burgon Society looking for a job in one of these churches? I cannot imagine. You get together. You fellowship one. And there are a few guys still in the GRBC that hold to the King James Bible and the TR. I had a supporting church out in Washington that's changed some, but this pastor holds to the TR and the King James, but he's tied in with Bob Jones. And he has, this guy can work his way in and climb that ladder quicker, and he's kind of like Brother DeVitro. He stands up, you can't see him. But, you know, it's usually the tall guys that seem to come in, and you notice them, right? They demand that attention. Not that he doesn't demand attention, but this guy, he left the GRBC because of separation, and he joined himself with the, what's out of Bob Jones University? The FBF. And he's worked his way up in that group, and he holds to this, and I wonder, how do you do that? Because he has all these guys in, but see, these guys are chameleons. A guy will come in, you know Brother Pickering, what was Brother Pickering's name? Wilbur, no, the other one. Ernest Pickering. He went Baptist World, that's a mission board, that used to say, I'm not too sure, I think they still say, we use a preference of the King James Bible. I have a friend with Baptist World, he's not a King James man. He's a Pillsbury graduate and a Central Baptist Theological Seminary graduate. He's not a King James guy. But anyway, he's with them. But Brother Pickering went with them. He changed Toledo Baptist there in Toledo, Ohio, Emmanuel Baptist Church, to the NIV. He went out and took a school. Brother Pickering, he wrote some great stuff on separation, but he was an NIV guy. He was a critical text guy. He went out there to the seminary out in Tacoma, Washington, changed it to the NIV. And then they always find a job. That's why it says job posting. If you're one of the boys, you'll always find a job. And my wife says, David, couldn't you be one of the boys? Why is it we lose money rather than finding it? But anyway, she doesn't say that. But notice what, well, Brother Pickering, he went with Baptist World. And when I saw that, I thought, now they say one thing, but I not only thought, now Brother Pickering, how does he go there? Secondly, I thought, how does Baptist World? I know now you just have to be one of the boys. It doesn't matter what you write. You just go along with these things. But anyway, on this GRBC, I'm throwing this in, okay? This is free, but you can read it later. Dress style for the services comes in here, too. You check that. What kind of dress do you want? How do you want the people to come to church? Now, I'm not saying that everybody has to dress like I dress, okay? In Australia, my son comes not in short shorts, but shorts down around there. That's Australian. I don't get on. He wears a nice shirt and all. Now, I don't always take a coat. And I just have a shirt and a tie. It's hot. I mean, yes, it gets hot. And in the wintertime, I wear the coat because it gets cold, doesn't it, Mom? But here we're talking about not just things like that. Dress style. It's like when you showed Mark Driscoll. It's things like that. But that goes along in many ways. I'm not just saying it's those who throw the King James out that do this. There are some King James churches out there that do this. And that's another problem with missions, but I'm not talking on missions right now, am I? Worship style. That's another thing they want you to answer when you look for a job. Well, the King James Bible's been forsaken within, and this is sad, within the GRBC. There have been some good men. Yeah. But you know, the GRBC began back in 1932, separated from the Northern Baptist Convention. And Dr. Bob Ketchum was probably, along with another one or two men, he was the initiator of that. And I've got some of his sermons in my library, and I was going through those, and you know he used the RSV in one of his sermons. And that was, oh, a long time ago. He's a good preacher. I mean, I enjoyed hearing him preach. But I was taken aback after I got into the issue business that he used. But see, that's just the way we get this into our churches. And that's where we find some of this, can I say, the mess that we find some of these churches in. Well, not only has the GRB, many of them, we have one GRBC supporting church. They still use the King James, and we thank them, thank God for that. And they're still traditional and conservative. But other Baptist groups are doing it as well. The Baptist Bible Fellowship. I have one Baptist Bible Fellowship supporting church. They still use the King James. But many of them, and along with this, is the dropping of the name Baptist. This goes right along with that. You do a little research on it and you'll see it. Sadly to say, Highland Park Baptist Church, now no longer Baptist. It's in the Southern Baptist Convention. Totally contemporary. They've now moved the college and university off to another Southern Baptist church. This is just a moving. This is, as I wrote in the one book on music, is that drums and the contemporary music isn't the problem. It's only a symptom. Separation is the problem. Separation from the world. And that's why some of them are dropping the King James Bible, is because they're not separated from the world. It's like Brother Cooper said, if you win them with a hamburger, another guy will win them with a hot dog, and then later on you go win them with something else. But anyway, back in 1961, as I was reading some of this and thinking about it, the GRBC's Baptist Bulletin, that's their magazine they put out, it ran several articles entitled Modern English Versions. Now think about it, 1961. I graduated from high school in 1963. And I just had, and this is still on the internet so you can find it. And it was written by Charles T. Butrin, B-U-T-R-I-N. He had been Omaha Baptist Bible Institute, moved from Omaha to Ankeny, Iowa, which is just outside of Des Moines, Iowa, became Faith Baptist Bible College and Seminary, which I went to. He taught at Omaha, and then he ended up at Grand Rapids School of Music, I believe it is, in Grand Rapids, Michigan. But he was in the GRBC, and he wrote these articles, and his first article said was this, "The American Standard Version," and I'm quoting, "is to this day the most faithful literal translation in the English language. The ASV can act as a criterion toward evaluation of any other modern version for the student of the Word who is unfamiliar with Hebrew and Greek." And remember, I said I had a professor at Faith that used the ASV. Well, he had been president of Omaha before it moved to Faith, and he was still president for a year or so, and then they called Dr. David Nettleton. But when I read this, I thought, well, that's why he used the ASV, because Brother Butrin, a professor, said it's the most literal, accurate translation. If I were to tell you, and you were the average church member, and I said, this Bible, this American Standard Version, is the closest to the original words that God breathed out, and you knew me as your pastor, and you loved me as you ought, and paid me a good salary for the job that I have, right? Wouldn't you start using, want to use? Pastor, sell me an ASV. So I understand why this dear professor that I did enjoy, that he used the ASV. Then I quote him again, "The ASV is undoubtedly more accurate," look at this, "than the King James Version." Then he wrote on page 9, he says that the ASV, quote, "is based on the Westcott and Hort text," which is good. Sometimes they don't tell you that if you read much of this. He says, "These two scholars spent a lifetime in the realm of lower criticism to derive a Greek text as close as possible to the original text on the basis of the best manuscripts." Now, in the fourth article, he writes that the Revised Standard Version is simply, quote, "a revision of the King James Version." That's kind of what Dan was saying. That's what they say. And has nothing to do with the King James Version. But people believe that, and they follow that, and they parrot. You know what? I am not a Greek scholar, which my wife would know. I know it, so I'm not trying to fool anybody, or a Hebrew scholar. But I know enough that I can read, and I don't see any of the stuff that they're talking about, because it just is not there. He goes on to say, "It's a revision of the King James, but it's a purging of the archaisms and employing of contemporary language which would be meaningful to people today," end of quote. Now, on page 27, in June 1961, in the Baptist Bulletin. Now, this is the General Association of Regular Baptists. Now, if I was or had to come back to the States, I'd be hard put to find a church within the GRBC to pastor, if I was truthful. But you know, I'm finding that some pastors really aren't truthful. I've seen some pastors take a church and immediately try to... If a church is using the NIV, personally, I think the way my convictions, I would be a hypocrite if I tried to take that church and then change them. I could see why people would get a little bit angry. I seem to get people angry even if they agree with me. So I don't need to go in with people that don't agree with me and try to change them. But anyway, he wrote his fourth article, and I quote, "Which modern version is best? This was the question I posed." Now get this. "This is the question I posed to several pastors of our GRBC fellowship." So you have these pastors. I've gone to these meetings when I was a pastor. And when you're a missionary, you go to these meetings. You know why? I've gone to pastors' meetings. Now, this is just free, okay? This is free. I got 4 o'clock, 20 more minutes. This is free. Can you hear me? Okay. A missionary goes. I learned this anyway. A missionary goes to a pastor's conference, and the pastor, host pastor, will introduce Brother Bennett from Australia, or going to Australia. Get to know him. Oh, they don't want to get to know you. You know why? Because they know you need a meeting and you need money. So anyway, I've been to these pastors' fellowships. I liked the pastors' fellowships when I was a pastor. But you'd go there, you'd get some donuts and you'd get coffee. And you had good preaching. I'll tell you what, some of these guys are still good preachers. And I listen to them if they use. What I don't like is that when they get up and use my Bible, God's Word, and start criticizing it. But if they don't do that, some of them really bring some good messages. But anyway, he did this at a pastor's fellowship. Three of them were partial to the Amplified New Testament. Can you imagine? I don't know how many were there. One liked Wiese's expanded translation. Another preferred the RSV along with the Greek. One liked the Phillips, and two others were partial to Williams's. It is amusing to observe that some strongly opposed to using one of the liberal versions, while others, though just as vigorously opposed to liberal theology, did not hesitate to use a liberal translation along with a Greek New Testament. End of quote. That's GRBC pastors that he asked these questions to. Now that's a fundamental, supposedly fundamental organization. Now I know the BBF never looked upon the GRBC as being truly fundamental, but anyway, they were just as fundamental as the BBF in many ways. But anyway, these pastors were already, back in the 60s, they were moving. Now I didn't know that. I'm a slow learner. You know why I'm a slow learner? I'm left-handed. Okay. I'm in my right mind, but I'm left-handed, and I'm a little bit slow on this. He says, also says that the New English Bible and the Revised Standard Version have both, and I quote, "taken advantage of the latest," there you go, Dan, isn't it? "The latest manuscript discoveries, critical apparatus, of the lower critics," end of quote. So how did the GRBC churches and how did the mission agencies come to the place where the King James Bible is openly, I mean without any apology, how did they, how has some of these other schools, Maranatha, Northland, I mean these schools, Bob Jones University, how have these schools come to this position? It's because of the professors. How did the professors come to this position? Because of their professors. We are students. And when we sit under one that we believe he is our teacher, he's leading me the way I should go, we listen. Now, I don't know what happens. These men go to school. They don't seem to ask questions for some reason as to why and what is going on. But it just happens. It didn't happen overnight. And these preachers will go into the church and just parrot off these things and criticize. Dr. Kenneth Brown came over with his son, who was a supporting pastor. Bob Jones graduates. Dr. Brown taught at Detroit Baptist Seminary. Knew his Greek. You knew Brother Brown. But he was a critical text man. And he preached out of a different version. I couldn't even follow along. It wasn't even close to the Bible that you and I hold and use. But anyway, he came over. And this is what a missionary uses. This is what a missionary does sometimes. You say, well, brother, you shouldn't have allowed him to preach. Well, that's easy for you to say. But here you have a supporting pastor come over with his father, who is an intelligent man. Loved the Lord. He's passed away now. Did you know Brother Kenneth Brown? Brother Boys, very intelligent. He knew his Greek. He knew how to read it and talk it and the rest of that, but he was wrong. But because of that, you now have my first home sending church that is totally ESV, because Kenneth Brown would have taught them, that pastor, what he believes about the Bible. Now, John William Burgon, which... Do we have the Revision Revised out there?
Yes.
You need to buy if you don't have it. It's a thick book, but it's well worth reading. He saw the ultimate abandonment of the Textus Receptus and of the Authorized Version if the German rationalists, I remember Gary L'Amour always getting onto the Germans. I liked it when Gary jumped up and down about the Germans. German rationalists were to be followed. He wrote in a footnote, Brother Burgon wrote in a footnote, he was an Anglican. But can you imagine being in a meeting with Brother Burgon? Intellect, I mean in intellect. In a footnote in the Revision Revised, he wrote, quote, men must begin by unlearning. You know, there's a lot of things we need to unlearn. The German prejudices of the last 50 years. And some of our brethren out there need to unlearn. Now, I need to unlearn some things, I suppose, down that I've been taught. I read things, and I sit and I listen to others, and I have changed in some areas. And I've unlearned some things and learned other things. But the dean went on to say that the new Greek text of Westcott and Hort was, quote, build upon a fallacy since 1831 has been dominant in Germany. End of quote. John Burgon saw that the Westcott and Hort's New Greek text was a composition, quote, of those wretched. I like the way he writes. He wasn't a man that was trying to win friends and influence people. But, you know, I think he, you read other things, he's very kind to these men, but he comes out. Of those wretched fabrications which are just now in favor with the German school. End of quote. This love for German rationalism, John Burgon said, began, quote, in A.D. 1831 under the auspices of Dr. Lachmann. So it didn't just start with Westcott and Hort. See, there were those that preceded, but there's always that one that is able to get it across and put it out to the audience that will accept it. There's always those salesmen. Have you ever had them come to your door? They're able to sell it. Somebody else was trying to sell the same thing, but they weren't quite as good at it. Well, Westcott and Hort were able to do that. He says, a new departure is made. Up springs what may be called the new German school of textual criticism, of which the fundamental principle is a superstitious deference to the decrees of Codex B. And end of quote. And then he goes on to say, quote, the heresy prevails for 50 years and obtains many adherents. And it's gaining. It's still gaining. Yes, we may have won. Wake up, brother. He's not going to wake up. But we may be winning, but they're still gaining some adherents. These adherents make up the majority of the teachers in the schools which we are acquainted with. These schools are Bob Jones University, Central Baptist. I'm not going to have time to get through all of this, but one of the love childs of the GRBC now seems to be Dr. Kenneth Bowder. Have you heard of Dr. Kevin Bowder? Kevin Bowder. I went to school with his father, and Kevin went to Faith and graduated and then went off to Trinity and then to Dallas, and he's totally critical text. And he uses the King James, but he's like most of those. He uses it for convenience so he can criticize it in the pulpit. And so the ESV seems to be the choice of many GRB churches. And the ESV translators say, and I quote, "The ESV is based on the Masoretic text of the Hebrew Bible as found in Biblia." Our brother mentioned it this morning. He can pronounce it better than I can, so I'll leave that for him to say. "And on the Greek text," it's the wrong one. Yeah. "And on the Greek text in the 1993 editions of the Greek New Testament published by the United Bible Societies." Now, I do not understand, as our brother mentioned earlier, that why anybody would use a Bible that is promoted by the World Council of Churches or the National Council of Churches. I just do not understand it at all. And they call themselves fundamentalists. I don't even want to be called a fundamentalist. If the Lord tarries and I'm still alive in 10 or 20 years, you will not know what's going on among our churches. And our people will be so out of it, they will not have a clue what we're going on about unless the Lord wakes them up some way. Now, in 2009, and I'll try to wrap this up because I know it does get a little hot and a little hard to listen to somebody reading, but in 2009, the GRBC Council of 18, that's another thing I like, is that you have these councils. And, you know, as a man that wants to do things, you like to travel. I like travel. You get your way paid and all the rest of this. Thank you very much, DBS, for paying my wife and I to come over. But kind of stepping on my own toes, aren't I? But they pay their way off to Schaumburg. Well, they've moved now, but wherever they're at now. The Council of 18. Added the ESV. This is what I like. Here you have a council of 18 men who are determining what the GRBC publishing company will use in their publishing arm of the Baptist Bulletin and in their Bible study books and in their Sunday school material. And so now the ESV has been added to the list of translations approved for authors to use in regular Baptist press publications. Now, this is what really set some of this off with me when I was still with ABWE. Sometime in the 80s, I think it was, when the editor of the Baptist, regular Baptist press came to Sydney, he was spouting off that regular Baptist press used only the King James Bible. And I had just been studying the 1 Corinthians, and I was using a regular Baptist press booklet by David Warren, who's now the state representative for the state of Ohio for the regular Baptist. And he criticized the King James translation of a word. And I looked it up in my Stephens that I had. And I noticed that he was wrong according to that one. And then I went to the Greek text that we used in college, and he was correct. But what I'm saying is this: he was dishonest. He was criticizing this book, this Bible, with the wrong Greek text. And that's what they do, folk. They do it all the time. When the council began the policy in 1963, the list included this, and I'll close: the King James, the ASV, Berkeley Version, Williams Translation. This list was expanded through the years and now includes ASV, ESV, Holman Christian Standard, NASB, NIV, New Scofield, and Amplified Bible. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't join another fellowship. Wouldn't join it. It can lead you astray. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the fire, right? And I can't stand the heat. 2 more minutes.